Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Oh, what's going on? 105, McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning as we celebrate the New York Knicks taking out the Sixers in six games. Should have been five, but they blew it. But they respond. They always respond. And they'll get ready for the Pacers. You just heard Marco tell you when game one is. They have it scheduled up to game four. Game one will be Monday night at 7:30. Game two will be Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Game three will be Friday at 7 o'clock. And then Sunday afternoon, 3:30 for game four. So Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday afternoon, 3:30. Games one through four for the series in the second round against the Indiana Pacers after they earned it with an incredible series. Really, I mean, just all the different trials and tribulations of what happened in this series. From game two on, but even game one. I mean, Brunson doesn't play well the first two. They figure out a way to win. Embiid tweaks his knee in game one, still manages to play a handful of really great, impressive games the rest of the way. Game two ends with the Knicks and a miraculous victory. Game four, game three, Embiid scores 50, dominates the game. Game four, they come back, get a nice win on the road to give them a 3-1 lead. They blow game five, up 6 points with 28 seconds left. And then last night, just a series within itself. Up 22, down 10, up 8, tie game, and Josh Hart with an enormous three. Josh Hart who can't hit shots. Josh Hart who missed the free throw to, you know, really seal the deal of the comeback by the 76ers in game five, who allowed that three-pointer to tie the game with that missed free throw, comes through with the biggest shot of the season, a three-pointer when the game was tied, and gave the Knicks a three-point lead that they never relinquished, and they go on to win 118-115 and move on to face the Indiana Pacers. And we'll be celebrating all morning long until 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way, 877-337-6666. Tim in Hicksville, what's up, Tim?
Hey, buddy, what a night.
What a night. What's up?
Yeah. Listen, you were talking about Michael Jordan. How about Oscar Robertson Jr.? They were talking on TNT. He is the first, only 50 years ago, they had 40 points, which 35 more points or more and 10 assists in four games. Only one player has done it, and that was Oscar Robertson. So he's
in the series or consecutive? Did he have all those?
I don't know. TNT.
In four games, it had to be the last four because he wasn't very good the first two. So yeah, right. four straight games with 30 plus points and 10 plus assists. Yeah.
35 and 10.
Yeah, 35 and 10, four straight games. He was incredible in this series. He's an incredible player, and after getting off to a bad start, I mean, he's just been great.
And it's funny because if you remember when the Knicks signed him, there were a lot of people making fun of him.
Oh.
Then they overpaid.
Oh, overpaid. He's not someone who helps you win a championship.
Yeah,
they put out all the highlights. Too small. Thank you for the call, Tim. Too small. He's not a top 10 point guard in the NBA. what was it, the saddest sweepstakes of all time, the sweepstakes for Jalen Brunson, the Knicks won. They overpaid him. I don't even know if he's a number. He's certainly not a number one. He might not even. He's probably not even a number two on a championship level team. And yet here he is carrying the Knicks with no other real, you know, definite scores. Like, you know, I mean, McBride is as important a scorer as any in the last couple games. 3 points in this game, minus 17 on the floor, 1 for 4 from 3-point land. I mean, and he, you counted on him to be that secondary scorer in multiple games this series. I mean, there are some guys who could step up on a nightly basis, but there's nobody else who you can guarantee is going to come through and hit shots for you. There's no, you have, it takes a village. He doesn't have that Julius Randle. Ananobi at times, and you know he defends and does his things that contribute to the team mightily. But there is no other guy you could just say, okay, look, I'm having an off night. Go out there and get me 20 points because we need it from you. Go out there and get me 25. We need you to get 25 tonight. I mean, I'm missing my shots. I'm exhausted because I scored 45 the night before. Like there's nobody like that. They had Maxey and Embiid. They could switch off, you know, trying to be the main scorer of the team. He's carrying this Knicks team. It's really incredible. Mo in Astoria. What's up, Mo? Mo! No Mo.
Hey, Chris, you there?
I'm here. What's going on, bud?
I just had to take myself off mute for a second.
Listen, sure.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener and a fan and a first-time caller, so I'd just like to thank you for your time.
No,
I love what you're doing with the show.
Well, thank you very much. Listen, thank you for calling.
I'm 26 years old. I've been a Knicks fan for as long as I can remember, and I'd just like to talk about the Knicks tonight and give my summary of their team and performance of what they've done so far.
You could just go ahead and do it whenever you want.
Listen. First and foremost, I'd like to give a shout-out to OG Anunoby tonight.
Yep.
I can speak for myself when I say I wasn't expecting him to give that kind of offensive performance from the young lad, so shout-out to him. He came out strong, and he got himself rolling in the quarter with some, I think he finished with like 19 points. It was a good performance.
19 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 2 for 5 from 3-point line.
Doing it on both,
and the biggest highlight of the game. Yep, no, he's doing it.
Biggest highlight of the game.
Yep.
He was doing it on both sides of the board. He got himself some defensive rebounds and some offensive rebounds. So I'm just impressed with him. And I think he was the key tonight to help the Knicks come out and overcome the 76ers with his.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of them, no doubt. I think him and DiVincenzo were the main scorers, obviously. But, you know, you got to give it to Hart. Hart scores 16 and hits the big shot.
Definitely, definitely. And I think Hart, even though I want to give a shout-out to Hart, too, because there was a play in the second quarter where it looked like he got banged up a little bit. It didn't look like too much, but I could tell that he was playing through a little bit of, you know, I saw some grimace in his face. So, and he powered through, and he did his thing. You know, he hit those clutch free throws. I know free throws were kind of an issue the other night when they were playing, and he did his thing tonight. He came through when it mattered. And I think the biggest part, you know, we talk about how Julius Randle isn't here with the Knicks, and they sort of need that big 1-2 punch, sort of like a lot of these teams in the playoffs have, you know. And the Knicks are really lacking that. So I think, as everybody knows, a key part for this Knicks is going to be what they're able to do with the bench, you know. We all love McBride, you know, Deuce McBride. Tonight he came off the bench. He hit that big 3 when he came in. But that's all he really had tonight, you know. He finished the night with 3 points or whatever. But just more so, the key factor for the Knicks, and I think their longevity with this playoff season, is basically going to be how their bench can come off and provide. I think it was the second quarter, and I saw a stat, or maybe the third quarter, it said the Knicks bench had 0 points, and the 76ers had 30-something points off the bench.
Yeah.
So,
well, they're also playing a lot more. I mean, they had 2 guys off the bench. It's Mitch Robinson and McBride. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know,
they have a total of 5 bench points in the game. You know, and McBride hits 1-3, and yeah. Mitch had the 1 dunk. That's it.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
they
played 1, 2, 3, 4 guys off the bench. So they played double the amount of bench players. And Buddy Hield went off on, you know, a tear and hit 6 3-pointers in the game.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because to be honest, I'm sitting here with my friends tonight, you know, watching the game. And I'm like, hey, guys, who's this Buddy Hield? Why does he have 20-something points? You know what I mean? And that just goes to show, like, that we, the Knicks, they need that player that can come off the bench. And honestly, That's why I want to give it up to OG Anunoby, even though he started tonight. But I feel like, hey, listen, like, that's what we need. We need players to, you know, let's say you're not a Knicks fan and you've never heard of this guy. We need you to show up and drop 20 and
no, I mean, listen, they're built on Jalen Brunson and then the role players, no doubt. And it has to be different guys on different nights. DiVincenzo is important to this team scoring early on. Anunoby late, no doubt. But DiVincenzo scores 23, hits 5 3-pointers, goes 5 for 9, which is efficient. I mean, he did a really good job. But they don't play the bench right now. It's McBride and Robinson. That's it. It was a rotation of 7. It was 8 with Bogdanovich. Now it's down to 7. They're not playing. They're not playing Achiuwa. They're certainly not playing Burks. I mean, there is it's two bench guys. That's it. Tibbs is rolling 7 deep. That's it. And we'll see if it changes for the series. I think series are different. Just because Achiuwa did not play in this series does not mean he won't play against the Pacers. We'll see how he does it. And I would think as they go deeper into this playoff, you're going to have to, you know, use your bench a little bit more. And hopefully not every single game is a knock them out, drag them out. You know, hopefully the Knicks can pull away and win a couple games a little bit easier than every single hard-fought game that was last night. Mitchell and Little Ferry, what's up, Mitch? I mean, excuse me. Michael and Little Ferry, what's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Chris, so I've been an Indiana Pacers fan since 1993.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited for this series. I think Knicks fans, Knicks are in for a wake-up call. The Pacers go really deep, 9-10 deep. The Pacers' leading scorer tonight was Obi Toppin, T.J. McConnell off the bench. I'm telling you, the Pacers are going to win this.
Yeah, they're not. But that's okay, Michael. I understand why you think so. I appreciate it. They are deep. They run a whole bunch of bench players. I mean, you want to see the difference? One, two. Now, some of the minutes are short here, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They had 7 off the bench. The Knicks play 7 total. The Pacers had 7 players off the bench. And yeah, Obi Toppin, 21 points to lead the Pacers in this game. 3 for 10 from 3, so you had 3 threes. 8 for 15 from the floor. Halliburton had 17. Siakam had 19. No, I know. The other guys barely played, to be fair. But they did get in there. I mean, Chua's not even getting in there. But it's basically an 8-man rotation. That's a good point, too. It's a blowout. They probably let different guys in. So it's probably an 8-man rotation. So they are deep. I'm just spoofing on what's going on here. I know they're not going to... All these guys off the bench aren't important necessarily. But they've had... You know, they count on guys a little bit more than the Knicks do off the bench. But they don't have... They don't have experience. I feel very comfortable playing them. And the Knicks can play defense. And they have Jalen Brunson. I think it's not a pushover. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to sweep the series. I am very confident. And they're a minus 300 favorite to win the series.
And I was told it opened at 215 in the 200s and very, very quickly got bet down to minus 300.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I think the Knicks are going to win the series. I think we are looking at the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves. They got to play the series against the Pacers. And look, the Pacers can score. That's for sure. The Pacers can score. The best scoring team in the league. They've got talent, no doubt. And they've got a couple different people who can score on this team. But Halliburton has not been the same player he was in the first half. He looks like, you know, he has not been that same dynamic scorer. And ultimately, I think the Knicks are tougher. I think the Knicks are smarter. I think the Knicks are better. And I think Jalen Brunson is going to be the best player in the series. Bob in Rockland County. What's up, Bob?
What's up? Yo, let's go, Knicks.
Let's go, Knicks.
Yeah, we're coming for you, Indy. Here we go.
We're coming for you, Indy. They got to come to us first. Again, the schedule. Monday, we start Monday night. Monday night, 7:30, game one. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Hopefully that's all we need.
We're coming for them. We're going to take them down.
Yep.
Four.
Take them down in 4. Thank you, Bob. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. This team right now is something special. And what they've done and the way they've excited the fan base and the way Jalen Brunson has played and all the different plays in this game. I mean, there are so many, big-time plays down the stretch of this game. They Embiid, who's killing them the entire game, they kind of shut him down in the fourth. In the last 6 minutes, he only scores 4 points. In one of those baskets, they let him score. They completely took out Maxey in this game. He scored 19 points, but didn't really hurt them almost at all. They blew a 22-point lead and still got off the deck and rallied back and made every big shot. And that watching Hart make that wide-open three at the top of the key to seal the victory, it's the epitome of the Knicks. It comes from everywhere. Even the guys who, for a lot of the game and a lot of the series, you can't trust to take that shot. In fact, the Sixers would love you to take that shot every possession, and there it was to finish off the game. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. More of your phone calls as we prepare for a series against the Pacers, and we look back at one of the more fun, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, heart-racing series we've ever had. Me and Fliegelman are back there in one of the offices watching it. We're getting pumped. I'm punching the lockers out there. I wouldn't say punching them, but I'm slapping the lockers. I'm annoyed. You're excited. You're pumped. You can't believe it. They took an 8-point lead with that dunk. That's the game. No, it's not. They come back and tie it. Goaltending as we watch the replay for 5 minutes. Like, it's just, what a crazy series. What a crazy up and down series. And every game could have went the other way. I was just watching, I'm reading some of the clips from post game. And, you know, Nick Nurse said, this is a series that could have went the exact opposite in every single game, but congratulations to the Knicks. And you know what? He's not wrong. Like, I have to admit, we were killing the Sixers. They're soft. They're this. They're that. I think the Sixers, although they lost this series in six games, I feel different. I think the Sixers come out feeling better than most times they do losing these bad series. I know no one cares, but Maxey is a budding superstar. And they managed to, every single one of these games, no matter how much the Knicks pushed, no matter how much they took a lead, no matter how much time was left, it was never over. They take that, that is a perfect example. OG passes up to three, takes it down the lane, slam dunk, and the foul, misses the foul shot, they go down and hit a three, and suddenly it's a 5-point game, and you're like, oh, Jesus, this thing isn't over. It's never over.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
So I'm looking at videos and clips on Twitter about the end of the game, because I literally ran in here right after the game ended and seeing some of the stuff and watching Jalen Brunson embrace Leon Rose on the court. I mean, it's worth taking a second. Now, they haven't won anything yet. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're having some fun, and rightfully so, because this is a great series. This is a great series, and it's a good team. The Sixers are a good team. They're one of the more talented teams in this Eastern Conference. And that's no small victory. That's a big win to get through this series without Julius Randle. It's a big win. But we're praising so much on Jalen Brunson, and we're praising Hart, and we're praising DiVincenzo, and we're praising Mitchell Robinson and everybody else. I mean, it's worthy of just taking a second and going, what a job Leon Rose has done. From the Anunoby acquisition, which changed the team in January, to DiVincenzo signing, Hartenstein. I mean, obviously bringing in Tibbs, just everything about going out there, buying Jalen Brunson. Like, he's just what they've turned this team into. What Leon Rose has turned this team into is it good enough to win an NBA championship? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. But is it good enough to bury themselves in the hearts and minds of Knicks fans? Yeah, it is. It's a special group. It's a special team. It's led by a special player. And whatever happens now, I mean, listen, do they need to win this Sixers? Do they need to win this Pacers series? Yeah. It'll be disappointing if they can't beat the Pacers. I have to admit, they will. They're a big-time favorite in the series. It's going to be a disappointment. But I think at least giving us this series and taking down Philadelphia and going through it and this up-and-down nature and watching Jalen Brunson become this stud the last four games, it's been great. And as far as executives in this town go, and I know I'm well known for my Brian Cashman love. I mean, right now, the best executive in this town is Leon Rose. And arguably the best run franchise is the Knicks. And you know what? Let's take a second, since we're thanking everybody. Whatever you think of him, take a second. James Dolan, right now, as we talk about the Garden Party, and we're getting ready to start the Rangers second round and the Knicks second round, both with home field advantage or home ice advantage, home court advantage, in the second round of the playoffs, and hopes of revisiting 1994. He's done a better job with the Rangers for a longer time, but he gave this job to Leon Rose. It was the right hire, and he's gotten out of his way. And you have to admit, right now, be fair. The Knicks and Rangers might be the two best-run franchises in our city. Everybody deserves a little bit of praise when they've given you this product and this performance and this team that we absolutely adore, and this team that we need to try and relax for a second and focus on this Pacers team before we get too ahead of ourselves and put them in the Eastern Conference Finals, like I know a lot of us fans want to do, myself included. But they got a big series coming up on Monday, and everyone inside this organization has done a remarkable job, because this is as much fun. Honestly, what's more fun than this series? Now that you come out on the good side of it, what's more fun than these games? What's more fun than every single game coming down to the final moments? And Jalen Brunson doing what he's doing, and Josh Hart and all these guys doing what they're doing. Watching this team fight and claw for rebounds, for loose balls, for just for everything, for every bucket. It's been remarkable, and you love the team. We love them. We love them. Drew in South Philly. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
I have to temper my excitement a little bit because it's so late, and I don't want to wake up everyone in my house. But
I understand.
I'm so proud of this team, and I couldn't agree with you more about the Sixers and how well they played and matched up with us. And I think they're a good prep team for us to be able to match up with the Pacers in the next series. Them having an elite big man and a really, really good small guard in Maxey. Yeah. I think the Pacers don't have anything like that, and that's going to free up our big men. I think Hartenstein's not going to have those kind of fouls like he was having, and he seemed a little frustrated with trying to pick up Embiid.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really, really liking the matchup for the next series. But,
yeah, listen, we all felt it was an easier matchup going into it, and we would have preferred to play Indiana in the first round than Philadelphia. And now, moving on, the Pacers have proven themselves a little bit. Yes, no Dame. Yes, yeah. No Giannis. But they've won a playoff series now, and you know they're well coached. You know that, and they can score, yeah. And they're young, and they're deep, and it's not easy. But I agree with you. I like the matchup. I think the best player on the best player on the floor will be Jalen Brunson, and I do agree with you. I think. I like the toughness and the defense and the rebounding of this team to go into a series where, yeah, listen, there will probably be a game where the Pacers can't be stopped and they score 127 and the Knicks will lose. Like, that might happen because that's what this team is capable of. But on a night...
But not with our D. I think our D is
not on
so
a regular
strong.
Basis. Not on a regular basis.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing, too, that I think that jumped out on... I mean, Brunson's going to do what he does. You know, I think the first couple games of the series in the first round was a little out of the norm. But I think what he makes up with scoring, what he does with his scoring, and when he's able to contribute with the assist, like the 12 assists tonight, that shows that he's able to get everyone involved.
Yep.
And if he's able to do that, if he's able to, like, maybe get more, like, 8 to 10 assists consistently in this next series, that's showing that everybody else is also getting involved.
Well, that's the thing, and they got to hit their shots. I mean, DiVincenzo wasn't hitting his shots the previous game, and he came through and hit big shots. Like, that's what he's going to drive and dish. We see it off the pick and roll. He's going to look to drive and dish if he can't get his own shot. Now, sometimes he will. Sometimes he'll force it. We've seen that before, especially in the overtime. But ultimately, yeah, his ability to get to draw the double teams and create open shots for these guys is imperative, and they're going to have to hit their shots, and they did. Josh Hart had who knows what we're talking about right now if Hart doesn't hit that three. He's left wide open all alone. He's got to hit that shot, and he did. So it's not just Brunson. It's the rest of the team. When you talk about assists, they got to make the shots. Aaron in Brooklyn, you were at the game, Aaron.
Oh yes, I was.
Where are
yes,
you now? You heading home? You heading home? You in the car?
I have around 37 minutes left in my drive.
Oh, nice. Good for you. I was wondering if you're hanging out with Marash and Loogie, who's not responding to our text messages.
Oh no,
as he's out there riding the mechanical bull.
They were too high for me. I couldn't get all the way up there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Nick Nurse not putting out Buddy Hield at all in the third quarter. What a soft, soft man that he calls himself a coach. Cannot believe what not playing the guy that brought you back into this game, not for a minute in the third quarter, was the most sad thing I've ever seen in my life. And you know what? I thank him for that. I really do. Also, a couple other things. Dante DiVincenzo, way to hit your free throws. Jalen Brunson clutched up, although he missed that one on the three-point play, and OG missed one that probably would have sealed the game. But they came through in the final four free throws of the game, and they hit all four of them. And you know what? And now I'm enjoying my ride home. I don't even know what my drive would have looked like if they didn't hit those free throws. Because
I don't know what this show would have looked like. I mean, it would have been completely different. Yeah, no. I agree with you. I was a little puzzled, too, that, you know, Hield didn't play more, especially how hot he was. And like they were talking about in the broadcast, he's been, when he first got traded over, he was playing well for them. He went cold, and then he went cold in the series and wasn't seeing a lot of time. But he's still what'd they say? Only Steph has more threes over the last handful of years. I mean, he could shoot. And he was out there killing the Knicks in the second quarter, just killing them. And so, yeah, the idea that he only plays 21 minutes in this game when he's 6 for 9 from three-point land, you would have thought he would have played more. But there were a lot of adjustments that I think, you know, guys were were slow to get to. I thought Hartenstein was on the floor way too much. I did for Tibbs. I thought he was on the floor way too much because, I mean, it was an easy basket. He couldn't, Embiid was just pounding him into the paint, turn around, hitting an easy shot right over him. And Mitchell Robinson clearly was playing better defense on Embiid. Clearly. And if the strategy, and they were never double teaming him. We're watching the games. How many times did Clyde say, and they just refused to double team, folks? Like, it happened over and over and over again. He wanted to play, and listen, it's a strategy that ultimately worked. He wanted to play Embiid one-on-one because he didn't want to give open looks to Maxey and some of these three-point shooters. That was a strategy because, I mean, they never abandoned it. They never, hardly ever. I'm trying to rack my brain. I don't ever remember them doubling Embiid. They weren't going to do it. And if you're not going to do it defensively, yes, I know Hartenstein brings more offensively. I understand that. He has that little 7-foot little jump floater that he has. His passing is far better than Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson's afraid to go up and dunk the ball when he's standing alone under the basket. But if you're going to play him one-on-one, if you're going to not try and double-team, and he's killing them, and he's clearly the offensive focal point, you got him leaving Mitchell Robinson to defend him. And Isaiah Hartenstein's out there, you got to throw a double-team at him. You had to. And Tibbs was very late making that adjustment, if at all. I mean, there are different elements to this game, but ultimately it's a party. What a great performance. What a great series. I mean, it's just remarkable. All the different things they overcame, all the different scenarios. I mean, a lot of teams would have had a real tough time getting off the deck after blowing that lead, and instead they came out rip-roaring and took a 22-point lead in the first quarter, only to watch squander it. And be down to 10 at one point, down by 10 at one point, and come back from that to be up 8 to only see that get back to a tie game. Like, just crazy. Chris in Farmingdale, what's up, Chris?
C-Mac. Man, so we're back to where we were last year, and I'm going to tell you, May 12th is my birthday. Mm-hmm. I was at the Mets-Nationals game, and that's when Game 6 was, and the Knicks lost, and they had the fireworks show. The Mets won that game. They had the fireworks show, and they started playing the Whitney Houston, Higher Love. They started having tears coming down my eyes because that's all I needed was a nice, like, love, sad song to come down, and the emotions came out. Now we're back to where we were last year,
yep.
And I'm not going to have that same feeling that, oh, we're going to run across the heat. We're going to run. It's going to be a tough series, but I am so freaking glad we are back here, and my hair just finally dried up because I was sweating like crazy through this whole game, this whole series. C-Mac, I'm 41 years old. I love Jalen Brunson like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I haven't had a love for a Knick this bad.
Definitely not.
Ewing era. And I love this guy. I love him as a person. I'm not that type. I met some famous people in my life, you know, because I do, you know, private security. So I met some people, but if I ever saw Brunson, even when I'm not anticipating it, I just run into him like I'm not ready for it.
Right.
I'm going to give this guy the biggest hug, and I'm going to say, listen, Mr. Jalen, I don't normally do this, but you don't understand the impact that you have on my life. And I'm sure he would say something like, I understand. Like, I would give him the biggest hug. And if I ever saw Josh Hart, I would joke around and say, you are my second favorite Nick of all time. And he would, like, laugh. And like, guess who's my first? Jalen. I was like, you're my second favorite Nick, but it's a good reason you're my second favorite Nick. Like, the feeling that I have for these guys, I mean, it's like I'm a kid again. I love it. I love this team. And I really thought this was going to Game 7. And oh, my God, what a day. This is great. The Mets won, and this team won. I'm just like, this is, I knew when after the Mets won, C-Mac, I was like, the Knicks are going to win tonight.
After the Knicks get off the deck and Lindor gets off the pot and literally comes through with big hits and wins the game for the Mets, yeah, I'm sure you felt like that. But you just touched on something, and thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. You touched on something that we talk around and talk about without actually saying the part he just said. As a 41-year-old, he's 41, I'm 40. it is like we're kids again. Because the Knicks have been bad for so long. Like it's like when the Jets finally get there, it's going to feel like it's almost nostalgic to see them playing these games again because it's been so long. I know last year they played hard-fought games against Miami. It still feels different. I don't know why. It's hard to explain. I'm not sure why. Maybe because Jalen Brunson has really emerged as this great player now. And we just feel different in Anunoby and this team and just the toughness and the grittiness and the great season they had. Even though they had a very good season last year and we thought, you know, we were confident that they could beat the Heat. This feels different. And when you look at it, as a 40-year-old, somewhere between, you know, 38 and 50, it does take you back to your childhood in many ways. It takes you back to a time where we saw this every single year and at least, I don't know, what, 10, 12 times a year. We saw these games all the time when I was a kid. The Knicks weren't in the playoffs? Are you crazy? We saw it every single year. And it's been so long that to see it again and to watch Brunson do this and to watch this be a team of a bunch of, you know, for lack of a better term, Charles Oakley's and Anthony Mason's, like that's who they are. And to watch this team win like this and have these great games and be the better team down the stretch so often in this series and come away with a victory in six games, it takes us back. It takes me back to my childhood and the feelings I had about that Knick team because, let's be honest, I lost it. For 20 years of just being in the abyss, I was still a Knick fan. I paid attention. I watched all the games. I worked in sports radio, so I've watched a lot of Knicks over the years. I mean, I guess once they were dead, which was frequent, I would pay less attention. But it just felt like, you know, they were just in the abyss and they were unimportant and you didn't care as much. The care got beaten out of you by being the worst franchise in the sport forever. And now it's completely different. It feels like that 90s team with how tough and smart they are. And watching Jalen Brunson give you the best performances we've ever seen. Let's be totally honest. I know Ewing had a couple. Ewing would hit shots. Ewing would defend. Ewing was Ewing, one of the great 50 players of all time. But, I mean, watching Jalen Brunson's different. It's just different. We haven't had a point guard in forever. We haven't had a winning team like this in forever. We haven't had a tough, likable team like this in forever. And watching these playoff games and watching them get the better of it down the stretch on pretty much a nightly basis in the series, saving game five. I mean, it is just remarkable how much I feel like I'm 10 years old again. That's it. I want to put on Bon Jovi Crossroads. Because I always associate that 94. I think we went to a game and we were listening to that in the car. But like, I want to put on I want to listen to Always by Bon Jovi or you know, I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men. Those are the songs I was into in 1994. And it takes me back to that feeling I had. The Knicks are awesome. The Knicks are the best. The Knicks are tough. And the Knicks are going to play great and amazing, entertaining postseason games and playoff games that I'm going to remember forever. And that's what it feels like yet again. And it's been decades without it. And damn, does it feel freaking good. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
See, Mac, thank God for these New York Knicks.
Thank God for the Knicks.
The Yankees depressed me against the Orioles, but you know what?
Oh, that's okay.
We'll pick that up some other time.
Yeah, and don't get so depressed. They're still, you know, they still have a winning
it's
record.
Okay.
The
Knicks are saving the Yankees bacon right now for the series. And how dare you ever be logical about Brian Cashman? Don't do that.
No, but anyway. I refuse. I'm going to be logical. Deal with it.
Well, you know I always defend you on that.
No, I know you do.
Listen,
I know you do.
I'm not. What I'm not going to do is defend those filthy ass. Crybaby and biatches from Philadelphia. Because let me tell you one thing. I'm not going to kill Hartenstein. There's one game I'll kill him on. That last game, he was undisciplined. He kept sticking his hand in there. Every other game, including today, in the first quarter, he did back. That's not supposed to be a foul. That's not even marginal. When the offensive player jumps into you, you know, like he does, flailing like he does, that's not a foul at all. So those are two phantom calls. It changes the complexion of the game because now, you know, people are killing him for playing him soft. But that's because of the calls in the first quarter that got him in foul trouble to begin with. So I'm going to cut him some slack. He's a very good defensive player. You're not going to see that against anybody else except Embiid because the league refuses to adjust the rules for Embiid, even though they adjusted it for everybody else in the league in, you know, mid-season. So I'm not killing him for that. I still love Hartenstein. I think he was doing a great job. It was a lose-lose situation for him. Now, going forward, Knicks in five.
Yeah,
and
okay.
As far as Jalen Brunson, C-Mac, as far as Jalen Brunson, you know, not being Michael Jordan, man, who knows, man? I mean, the guy just did something that only Oscar Robertson has done with the 35 and 10 assists in three games of the playoff series.
Yeah.
And the 40 and 10, he did it twice this series. Nobody has done it since Michael Jordan has walked on, you know, a hardwood floor before. So, like, listen, I'll leave you on this. And it's not going to be kind, but it is what it is. Becky Hammon and Candace Parker
it's not just them, Ray, and I appreciate the call. It's not everybody doubted what Jalen Brunson would be. And listen, before we make him Jordan, he was incredible and he did incredible things, and I expect him to continue to be incredible here. But I mean, yeah, and your Hartenstein point. I don't think anybody's killing him or saying they don't love him anymore. It's just, I'm sorry, whatever excuses you want to make about he had to change his style of defense because of fouls early on, all I know was Embiid would get the ball, and if Hartenstein was on him, he would put his back to him and back him down into the box and to the rim, turn around and put the ball in very easily, like as if I were playing basketball with my son. That's what it was like. If I were to play one-on-one basketball with my son and take it seriously, I would just turn around and back him into the paint and then turn around and hit an easy shot right over him. And then Embiid even gave you the, he's too short for me. So I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm not saying he's not a good defensive player. I'm not saying that I hate him or I blame anything for him. All I'm saying is he was left alone with Embiid a lot because the coach did not want to throw double teams at Embiid, considering how he looked in Game 5 and how great Maxey looked. He was willing to take what Embiid was going to give them. And every time he had Hartenstein on him, he backed them down into the paint and scored the easiest of baskets you could possibly have. That's just a fact. You could come up with a million reasons why it was a fact, but it's a fact. And I felt like Tibbs took too long making the adjustment to that. He never threw a double team at him. And you had to have Mitchell Robinson on the floor more because Mitchell Robinson actually had a chance defending him. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on? Great show. Really excited about the Knicks.
Yes, let's go.
I agree with everything. I think Brunson right now, this is really, really strange, but it's true. I think he's the best player in the NBA right now. Right now he is. If you look at what he's done, he is the best player in the NBA. What he carried his team to victory. Right now, he's the best player in the NBA.
I mean,
doesn't mean he's going to be that way forever.
Right.
But right now, that there's a good argument that he's the best player in the NBA.
Well, I mean, you could certainly make the case right now that he's the best. I mean, and do you consider only teams playing right now? Because yeah, he's probably right now the best player still going in the NBA. At least that's what he's shown in this playoff series. But I mean, you could argue before this game. Before now, you can't. But heading into Game 6, you could argue Maxey was just as good or better than Brunson was this
really
entire series. It did. Well, this game it did. This game it did. There's no doubt about it. But yes, I'd be hard-pressed to go through. I know Luka just had a big game for Dallas, but he's been up and down in the series a little bit. I mean, Irving is incredible when he decides to score for Dallas. He can put on a display. But no, I think you're fair. I think now he's playing. He's playing. I haven't watched every second of every other game, and a lot of the series have been easy and sweeps. But Brunson's as good. Let's just put it this way: Brunson's as good as anybody still around in the NBA playoffs. You're going to be hard pressed to find better. That's how good he's been. Sean on I-95 was on the fan. What's up, Sean?
Hey.
You there? I'm you here. Yeah, I got you. You there?
I'm here, my man. Go Knicks.
Go Knicks. What's up?
Go Knicks. Man, I got to say, you were just mentioning on Mitch Robinson. What do you think? Do you think there's a little injury, disclosures, some reasons they're not playing him as much? I mean, iHeart brings great stuff to the offense, but Mitch, when he goes in, it was a game changer in this, especially tonight. I mean, the guy had like almost 10 rebounds, and I think I don't even know if he played 12 minutes.
Mitchell Robinson, yeah, I think he played more than 12, but not crazy amount of time. You're right, 18. He's a little hobbled with the ankle. But he helped defensively. He got six offensive rebounds in 18 minutes. That's impressive.
That was insane.
That's impressive. Hey,
I got to tell you though, man. By the fourth quarter, because the first quarter of the Knicks, everyone's going wild. So I'm down there. I'm in the drive from Manhattan for this game.
By the fourth quarter,
it's back and forth, the dogfight, and New York Knicks chants were overpowering Philly. They were booing Maxi and Embiid at the line. There was boos in Philly.
Yeah,
I mean it was. It was quite the
scene, man. If you you weren't because you were at the game, but listening to the broadcast, they couldn't hear a whistle to save their lives. They would.
Oh, yeah, I had no idea.
They had no idea when a whistle was blown. They couldn't tell. The play would stop, and they'd be like, "I guess that's a foul." Like it was. They couldn't. They apologized 10 times over the course of the broadcast, saying, "I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I can't. We can't hear the whistle." It was crazy. It was absolutely nuts. The environment there was absolutely crazy.
It was mayhem, and now it's you'd like to think that this should have been our round two matchup, and the Pacers were the round one, as you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll leave it on this note. Whatever happens, moves forth. Brunson, I'm a firm believer in everything he's been doing, but I'm excited to watch Obi Toppin shoot 20% from three round two.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. He was their leading scorer in this game. And we'll see what they got in store for him. But yeah, I mean, that was an incredible performance. Oh, I forgot to ask him if he got any free chicken. See if anybody if any Knick fans took advantage of the free chicken from Jalen Brunson. If so, shame on you. You can't get free chicken on the account of the Knicks missing foul shots. And I'm getting something on Twitter. Awful Sports Radio just retweeted me and said, Chris McMonagle, that's me, just put Brunson ahead of Patrick Ewing, and I don't understand why or how, but he did. Now make it make sense. I don't believe I put Brunson ahead of him. I said watching him go through the playoffs here and perform the way he does is different than watching Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing didn't Patrick Ewing didn't play guard. Patrick Ewing didn't dominate the basketball. Patrick Ewing did a lot of different things. He's one of the great 50 players of all time. I'm not saying Jalen Brunson is better than Patrick Ewing. I'm saying watching Jalen Brunson. And again, I have to go back into the corners of my mind. It's been 20 plus years since I've seen Patrick Ewing play a playoff game, hit a fadeaway jumper from the baseline, his famous move. It's been a long time. Watching Jalen play in the postseason, watching Jalen take over a game, it just hits different than Patrick Ewing. It just does. I'm not saying he's better or worse. I'm saying watching him play in the postseason and take over a game and make these big plays and these big shots, it's pretty special.